Hello and welcome back to 40 days and 40 nights on the Camino with Jamie, the long distance coach. This is your host, this is the author, Jamie Wallace. Day 28 from Scotland and day 23 on the Camino de Santiago, and I'm in El Ganso. I'm in this lovely old... El Ganso's like really set in the countryside. It's in a it's like farms all around us, country roads, and staying in this nice converted building. It's been converted into some pilgrim accommodation. As I said, there was two Americans. They had a cat as well. I remember the cat out in the garden the night before, just chilling before the mosquito started to bite. There was a Spanish pilgrim as well who was pretty annoying, honest to goodness. Most people that are pilgrims are quite considerate, and we know to get everything prepared and organized the night before. But not this person, not this Spanish pilgrim. He set his alarm to go off, and it just kept on going off, so it was waking us all up. Not only this, but he was being as noisy as possible while he was packing his bag. Now, this is a guy that stayed outside the night before, and until it was late and dark, and who knows what he was getting up to, but he could have been in getting all this stuff organized in advance. But no, he just thought he would wake us all up with his rustling of bags and all the rest of it. He's more satisfied with playing on his phone the night before rather than be considerate for us. That sometimes you get petty and you have these kind of feelings, and little things can sometimes get to you just like that. And you just wonder what's going on in their minds, what's preoccupying them that they can't just be so organized. I mean, you don't go on a big, huge walk without knowing how to be organized. But obviously, sometimes things play on your mind and you need to have a break from that. And sometimes, you just have to forget that there are other people around you to get past these stages. But for these people around you, it's not always the best thing, because especially when you're walking day after day after day after day, you need to rest, you need to get the sleep to have the energy and the drive to go forward the next day. So there is a balancing act between your own selfishness and, meeting the needs for those around you in a shared environment. Different if it's your own accommodation, but when you're sharing a place with other people, then you do need to remember there are others around you and have some common courtesy, really. So if you're one of these people that, doesn't tend to think about others around you when you're in a shared accommodation, then have a think about the consequences that some these actions of rustling papers at 4:30 in the morning and bags and whatever is potentially having on other people that are genuinely trying to re-energize for the next day. Because we're all on this same journey, remember. This guy was being as noisy as possible, packing his bag, rustling his bags away. All I could think of, he could have done this the night before instead of playing on his phone, playing these games or whatever he was doing. Anyway, I couldn't get fully back to sleep that morning. So I was kind of forced to kind of get up early. The American girl and her mum, they were nice. They were talked, last night a little bit. But they were still sleeping. So I made my way up, and then I made some tea and coffee after learning. I had to learn how to use the coffee machine and stuff like that. I thought I did quite well. First time I'd used one of these kind of coffee filter type things. I really wasn't sure how the coffee thing worked, but I ended up making too much coffee. It just wouldn't stop pouring, and I had to like find something else, another cup and stuff like that, to kind of pour it into. And, oh, it could have been like so much. If I wasn't there to look after it, it would have been so much worse, put it that way. And the place would have been overflowing with coffee. And it was raining that morning. So I just felt like it's dark, it's wet. I'm daring to go, but I don't want to walk in the rain because I don't really want to start walking wet. So I waited for the rain to stop, and then about half an hour, 6:30 that morning, I then opened the door. That was me. I'm going to leave. And as soon as I opened the door, it was like strange. I mean, for them, I mean, this whole thing that happened, it was like these two guys, I ended up meeting a couple of folk. They were just outside. They were in there soaked to the core, with their raincoats on, their hoods over their head. I just opened this door, and it must have been like shining a big huge light of spotlight onto them, because when I opened this door, it just shined up their faces, and they were like, oh my goodness. It's like they were really like dying for something, food, warmth, shelter, anything like that. And like I opened this door to them, the light came out, enveloped them, and their faces were of shock. It was like the hair in the headlamp kind of eyes. It was quite funny. And the guy just said, "Can we have a coffee?" And I was like, yeah, of course, in you come and have a coffee. Because strangely enough, I'd made all this extra coffee. How weird is that? Eh? It's as if it was really meant to be. So I shared this extra coffee and the sugars and stuff like that and invited them in as if it was my own place. And I made sure that, you know, they were next to the heater so they could get a nice heat and try and get themselves dried off a little bit. So this was Christian and Begonia. I think their boyfriend and girlfriend, or they were maybe married as well. But it was just one of these weird experiences that all just, the universe collided and it all just happened at the right moment. And yeah, it depends where your mind is set, but for them, it might have been quite a, you know, the light enveloping them. It was definitely for us. That moment was specifically designed for us. That's all I can think of. So after they had their coffee, they got a bit re-energized, got some sugar in them, and a wee bit heat and warmth. They were all ready to set off on our way. So we all left together, me, Christian, and Begonia. And we would make our way over to El Acebo. I had been doing some research, and I knew that this is the place I wanted to go to that day. This is the place with the swimming pool. And I just felt I needed another rest, needed to just chill out again. Be kind to my feet, you know. So we stopped along the way for breakfast, and then later on that afternoon we stopped for a drink as well. And that was a good thing about they two, is that, you know, they were hard walkers, you know, like, but they would also rest a lot along the way. They would just live for the moment and just take in around them the kind of the history, the scenery, much like myself, but a lot more relaxed about it. They were very, very comfortable in themselves, and that one would take the lead every now and again, and it was great. They were a great, great couple to be walking with. So we climbed up to 1,530 meters up to the Iron Cross. So the Iron Cross is this mystical destination, a bit like the Alto del Pedro. The Iron Cross is this other place of significance along the Camino de Santiago on the French Way. The Iron Cross is symbolic for a lot of people. It's where it's a destination for some people, for a lot of people. It's where people make their wishes and they leave something, usually a stone or something to remember someone by at this destination. I left some wishes at the top of the cairn where the cross was. I got some pictures taken by the cross as well as I was doing it. It was a moment for reflection. Another one of these kind of poignant moments that you just take stock of where you are and the distance that you've came in life, and be thinking about those in your life and those around you, and just making your prayers and your wishes, really. I've got here, the climb down from that point was quite steep. We walked through El Aceiba, until we got to the alberg with the swimming pool. Yeah, so I was really hoping that this place was as good as the hype, because they were quite happy to. There was a few other places that were very lively and we were quite good before we got to this place. Where we were going was on the outskirts of Aceiba, but I was pure selling this place to them, because like, no, this is, we need to go here because this is just, and they did. And so glad that we did, because this was this is somewhere I would go back to, you know, and just stay there for like a week or 2 weeks. I basically checked into a room that day, and I got the dinner as well. Now the room that I had was amazing. So the place had this like alberg accommodation, so the dorms and stuff. So these are like your cheaper accommodations, and that's fine. But I just felt I wanted to upgrade myself. I needed just the privacy of my own bed and just my own space to think, and the bath, my own bath, and all that kind of thing, just to relax and just, again, re-energize, start looking after myself. The one thing about having been to the doctors and hospital, and it gets you to think about yourself. And I've not been good at looking after out for myself in the past, and now I was starting to learn to look out for me and look out for my health, and this was the beginning of that journey. Excuse me. So after checking into my room and bought myself the dinner, I went out for, got some drinks next to the pool, and then met this German at dinner. There was Jimmy, an Irish man from Dublin. There was an Austrian boy and a German as well. So there was a mixed group of people at the dinner that day. It was I think we got a choice of menu. But the meal was nice nonetheless, and it was the same place we went for breakfast the next day. But what I discovered, and I was more excited about this, was the pool. If you paid €2, then this meant you could get as many beers, water, and soft drinks as you wanted. So, yeah, I paid the €2 and I made sure that I had my fill of beer and soft drinks, and water. So it's just like an all-inclusive type offer that you could take advantage of while the pool bar was open. And so this is a pool bar. We've got the pool. I went for a swim, and just really had a great time, just relaxing, chilling by the pool. And the thing is, though, the pool, this is all around these mountain tops, and you're like swimming in the clouds. You're swimming in the mountains. It's a fantastic, fantastic experience. And that's why I would go back, because it's just like you're like a, you see these like Greek gods playing games, you know, in the mythical tales and stuff like that. It's like you're up there with the gods. It's just an amazing, amazing experience, to be honest. And the German woman that I'd met, I thought her name was Karen, but her name is Miriam. This is the German woman that I had dinner with. I remember I had dinner with this woman in the place that had the procession, and where the Catalan was getting chased by the Spanish people. Carrión de los Condes. So this is the woman that I had dinner with then. So we'd obviously caught, this was us, we'd caught up in this place here. I had a good chat with Christiana and Begonia at the poolside bar, and we went for some swims and that stuff as well. So it was really good being able to spend the day with them, especially the how the morning had started off, you know, with that we opening the door and shining the light on her face, and bringing them into the heat and the warmth. One thing I noticed, I've made a note of here in my journal, is that the Wi-Fi is really bad. So I'll hear from Fortune soon when I connect again. So yeah, I was disconnected from the world, but I was connected to this amazing environment round about me. Such a fantastic place. And if you ever get the chance to walk along that stretch of the Camino de Santiago, then yeah, definitely this hotel, hostel type place is where to go. I'd walked for 7.5 hours that day, and from 6:30 until 2 in the afternoon. And the rules of this particular alberg is that you can stay for as long as you want, in the one go. Some places have limits on how many nights you can stay, but this particular place allowed you to stay for as long as you wanted, as long as you paid up front, basically. So that was my 23rd day walking the Camino de Santiago, 28th day away from Scotland. And on the next day, I'll talk about my next day on the Camino. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Tune in again tomorrow for the next episode.